Blog Talk Radio.
Enter the zone. The prophecy zone. Your end time watchman. Bringing you light in a dark world. Where truth is rivaled with a lie. And the matrix is normal life. Luke 21. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You are now in the zone. So be ready to enter the light or truth about the end of days, so you will be ready for the coming of the Lord. You are in the zone, the prophecy zone. So join us for the next hour as we look at world events in line with Bible prophecy, so you'll be informed and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order. New world coming. America will become increasingly vulnerable to hostile attack on our homeland, and our military superiority will not entirely protect us. Americans will likely die on American soil.
And I believe it will also be said of this age, the first decade of the 21st century, that out of what is will be seen as the greatest restructuring of the global economy, perhaps one even greater than at the time of the Industrial Revolution, a new world order was created.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Now, get ready to enter the zone where real life is stranger than fiction. The place where the news may seem like a dream, and the dream may be a matrix of reality. Let us now expose all lie of the devil and bring to light all the secrets of the enemy, because God truth will set you free. John 8:32. You're listening to This Week in the Zone with your host and watchman on the wall, Phil Armstrong.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to the Prophecy Zone. This is Brother Phil Armstrong, and I'm coming to you live from beautiful Spokane, Washington, on this wonderful afternoon. It's nice to be alive, nice to be able to look at God's Word and find out that when you obey God's Word, there is peace that surpasses all understanding. I was just driving in the car with my wife, and I was just telling her how peaceful I am in heart. Things that come along in life, trials and tribulations, but God gives you time where you go through the valleys and you go through the mountains and you go back through the valleys and you go through the mountains, and that's life. Some people's valleys last longer than some people's mountains, but you persevere. And through those valleys is when people get tested if they're going to follow Jesus or not. And I enjoy going through life because you are going to either pick up wisdom or you're going to pick up something and lay it to the side, and it no longer becomes wisdom. It becomes foolishness. When I go through Facebook and YouTube, I'm glad that God prepared me in my life. And then you probably think this is a bunch of nonsense and I should bring my guest on. But me and my friends used to, and my associates and whatever, used to what we call blaze each other. You know, your mom was so fat, or you so ugly, or you got a big nose, or you got a big, deep voice. Mine, they used to get on me for my voice. So I was thinking about it the other day, and I kind of find out that I developed a tough skin. And when I'm on YouTube and on Facebook or any other place of social media, I find it that, yeah, you get your feelings hurt because we are humans, but I have a much tougher skin when people don't agree with me. Or, I mean, because, you know, if you look at, especially since I've been doing at least Blog Talk Radio, and since I've been, you know, heavily involved in Facebook, we get to a point where nobody don't agree with us. We feel bad about it, and then we either try to lean in or lean out. We either try to convince somebody that there's a pre-true rapture, or we try to convince somebody who Juan Carlos is the Antichrist, which most of us have been wrong, a lot of us have been wrong. And we'll sit there and try to convince somebody, and if we don't convince somebody, we don't feel right about it. Well, what I decided to do, even just this year, is if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Now, I want to be right about the scriptures. I want to be right about the simplicity of Christ. I want to be right about the gospel, the truth, where Jesus was at the well and he said, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. The spirit must show you truth and the spirit must lead you by truth. And if the spirit's not there, then you're not any of God. So what I decided to be right about is the things that we need, the first issues of gospel, of the gospel, not the secondary, not the third, not the fourth. Secondary issues, yeah, you should be somewhat right about. But the third issues and the fourth issues, if you make them up, I think Britt Musburger is the Antichrist, you know, something like that, then, no, he's not. So, you know, just get over it. You know, and a lot of people, especially with pre-trib rapture people, you know, I'm 100%. You're not going to – I don't even think I ever budged off of pre-trib rapture. I really don't. I don't even think I've even took a look. Now, I do open up my – you know, I say, okay, let me sit down and read the Bible and see if I can see posts or see if I can see mid. And I don't see any of them. But no one's never convinced me otherwise. Now, what somebody did change me on is who the Antichrist was. And I used to be 100% sure he's come from Europe. Now I'm about 50-50 that he's coming from either Europe or the Middle East. Not Africa, though. And I was 100% sure that Europe would be the main, that's my guess this tonight, that Europe would be the main function of the beast. But I'm not so sure about that anymore. But what I am sure about is this, and I hate to use this word, it'll all pan out, as long as I'm not here to see it. And then we get the reports from the angels, it's the Mediterranean Union, it's not the European Union, or it's the European Union, you know, I don't care. As long as I'm sitting at the whale's back. I mean, seriously, folks. And then, you know what I know this apparatus is going to be? Are we praying for the people on earth? Do you know we're going to be in heaven praying for the people, representing the people? And we're going to be like, how long should our brothers and sisters, you know, we're going to be there for that. We're not going to be, who's the Antichrist is? Tell me. I got to hear it. You got to tell me who the Antichrist is, or I'm going to lose all my hair. You don't lose hair in heaven. Oh, I'll lose it anyway. You know, something like that. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to guest Nathan Jones. And Nathan was on our show about a year or two ago, and I'm not so sure. I was checking the archives, and I saw Terry James was on here about 2 years ago. So both of these guys have been on here twice. Just real quick, I was on the treadmill the other night, and Nathan's on Christ in Prophecy, which is an awesome television show, which I'm a tape on my hopper, and I'm gonna do that tonight. I'm gonna tape that tonight. Make sure y'all remind me. Send me an email. That no, I was joking. But anyway, they were talking about the 70th week of Daniel, and they were talking about the gaps in between. So I'm gonna ask them about that on today's show when we come back. We're gonna bring on Nathan Jones. We'll be right back.
This next announcement is serious news, and you won't hear it in the mainstream media. We are living in an age full of catastrophic events, and it's getting worse. But before we go on, remember this website, highgrounds.us. In the past 2 decades, natural disasters have increased by 800% within the U.S. alone. Cataclysms like Hurricane Katrina killed and displaced thousands because they were not prepared. And the 2008 economic collapse could happen again. but be much, much worse. So type this into your web browser, highgrounds.us. Highgrounds.us is your complete source for family survival necessities. You'll find food and water with a shelf life of 25 to 30 years, plus tents, portable containers, light, heat, first aid, and much more. Go to our website, highgrounds.us, or call 1-888-202-9094. Place your order now and be prepared. That's H-I-G-H, highgrounds.us. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Highgrounds.us.
October 30th, 1991. President George H.W. Bush initiates the Madrid peace process to divide the land of Israel. On the very same day, a freakish hurricane, now known as the Perfect Storm, destroys the Bush vacation home in Maine. And the pattern continues. Each time America compels Israel to vacate its territory, our land is devastated on virtually the same day by Hurricanes Andrew, Katrina, the Northridge earthquake, and Joplin's killer tornado. Is this coincidence? Or is there a spiritual cause and effect? In Genesis 17:8, God promised the land of Israel as an everlasting possession to Abraham and his Jewish descendants. That promise still stands. Those who bless Israel are blessed. Those who curse it are cursed. Author John McTernan makes this open and shut case in his landmark book, As America Has Done to Israel, and the companion DVD, The Day of the Lord. For ordering details, visit John's online blog at johnmcternan.name.
Now, be prepared to re-enter the zone where only watchmen dare go and only the fearless do venture. Now from the lands of the Pacific Northwest in FEMA Region 6, where we warn about your future and the rapture of the church, the concentration camps of the enemy, your host, once again, Phil Armstrong. Welcome back to the zone, the Prophecy Zone.
I'm hoping we are not having technical difficulties between the hours of 3 and 7, I think. We normally have technical difficulties, especially when it's probably cutting in and out. Nathan belongs, he's a part of a ministry called Lamb and Lion Ministries, and the program, Christ in Prophecy, which I mentioned earlier, is a wonderful program. And to finish up what I was saying, they had about 17 Bible prophecy experts come on, and then they asked that question. So that's what I was saying. And Nathan happened to be one of the individuals on the panel that was during a prophecy conference that they were having. Nathan is an evangelist in Christ. All right, I'm back. Evidently, Skype just crashed on me, so we're going to have to take it over my very nice cell phone, iPhone. So just please hold on for a second so I can put the microphone in a comfortable position before I bring my guests on. But now, instead of a microphone in the holder, now my phone goes in the holder. So it looks like it's pretty comfortable there. I'm going to bring my guest on. Nathan, you there?
Yes, sir. Hi. How you doing, Phil?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I was worried about technical difficulties, and there you have it. So how you been doing, brother?
I've been doing very well. I've been enjoying seeing your posts on Facebook. You mentioned earlier on Facebook a lot, and you're not kidding.
Yeah. Well, we are blessed to be on Facebook. Facebook is a great tool. But I'm really impressed by you guys, your guys' ministry. I talk about, show my wife, you guys, I had August on the show a few weeks ago, and a couple of days ago, actually. And he was part of that panel also, 17 individuals, which I was like, man, let me fast forward this and reverse it and listen to it over and over again, because it was a blessing, quite a blessing.
Oh, praise the Lord. We were at the pre-trib conference. It's held down here in Dallas every year. Tim LaHaye and Tommy Ice put it on, and it's a fantastic conference. All the best minds in Bible prophecy get together, and they go over different studies that they've done and all. And while that's going on, Dr. Reagan and our media team have a room off by the coffee shop there, and each year we have a different theme and different experts. It's the best place to get all the experts in one shot, and we bring them in and ask them different questions. Last year was Revelation. This year's topic is Daniel, and we're going to be there at the pre-trib conference this year asking more questions of the various teachers that are there. So excellent opportunity to have decades and decades. You know, when you probably put all those guys together, you probably got almost like 1,000 years of Bible prophecy study right there. So best to tap it, right?
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's something else. That's a lot of meat there.
Not kidding. It's a great conference. I hope to see you some there, Phil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, let's talk about the 70 weeks, because that was a question that they had asked. And I had asked August at the same time, and also Tommy Ice when he was on here about a week ago. We had asked him the same question. So since I have you here, I wanted to give your input on Daniel, the 70th week. Now, some believe that it's already been fulfilled. I mean, I've heard everything about that. So what is your take on it? I'll just go right to the point.
Well, it's clearly a prophecy that has partly been fulfilled. You can go to Daniel chapter 9 and verses 20 through the end of that chapter, and that's where Daniel's given the prophecy of the 77s. Now, you read starting verse 24. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. And all these things would be accomplished in a span of 77. G7 is a week is 7 years, so 490 years. There'd be 49 years for the Jews to rebuild Israel. And then there would also up to 483 years till the Messiah is cut off. In other words, Jesus would be cut off. He'd be crucified. And we can find that out to the day that 483 years passed when Jesus did his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So that's an amazing bit of prophecy. But we still have 1 week of seven left. And those things that we read there, those 77s and those six different topics, haven't been covered yet. There's still another 7 weeks that has got to be. So there's got to be a gap between the 483 years of prophecy and the 7 years of prophecy. Now, going back to that in Daniel 9, the six accomplishments, it says the first thing that have to happen is to finish transgression. And that means that the people, the Jews, who have rejected Jesus as their Messiah, they have to finish the transgression of rejecting their own Messiah. And clearly the Jews today continue to reject Jesus as Savior. It also says that the second thing that happens is to make an end of sin. Well, the end of sin, as you know, is the end of rebellion against God. So we have to have an end of rebellion against God, and that hasn't happened yet either. The third thing that happens is atonement for iniquity. There has to be a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Jesus had to die on the cross and then finish that by coming back at his second coming, and he hasn't come back yet. The fourth thing Daniel 9:24 says is to bring in everlasting righteousness. Well, you need a righteous people to have everlasting righteousness, and then you also have to have a righteous king. So that's the only Messiah is the king, so we're waiting for the king to return. The fifth accomplishment would be to seal up vision and prophecy. In other words, all prophecy has to be fulfilled, and obviously that hasn't come to a conclusion yet. And then the sixth thing that happens deals with the anointing of the most holy place, or the temple, in other words. There has to be a genuine temple again, and that's a temple we're waiting for Jesus to set up in the millennial kingdom, not the third temple during the tribulation. So there's got to be a gap between the 483 weeks and the final 7 weeks, and we know that by reading Revelation 2 and 3, that that's the church age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would be the next step in the 70 weeks? I mean, what would be the trigger that would get the last week accomplished?
Well, we know from Jeremiah 37 that it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel said it was a seven-year period. You can read about it, two sections of times, and half a times, that's 3.5 years each. That final 7 weeks, those final 7 years, are dedicated to what's called the tribulation. It's a time period, you can read about it especially in Revelation, where God's wrath will come down onto the earth in 21 different judgments for the purpose of bringing people basically to the end of their rope so that they have to choose either God or Satan. They have to make that decision. And it's also for the Jews to be able to convert, to have their hearts turn from humanism to following God to, at the end of the tribulation, accepting Jesus Christ upon his return. And it's for Jesus to have victory over evil, man. That is the part I'm looking for, the end of evil for a time until the end of that millennial kingdom afterwards, but a time of evil being destroyed, Satan being bound, the Antichrist and false prophet, who will be the rulers of the one-world government at that time period, will be thrown into the hell, and we will finally have Jesus' ruling here, reigning here in peace, righteousness, and justice. And man, as terrible as the tribulation sounds, that final Daniel 70th week, we look forward to the millennial kingdom of Jesus, where we have peace, righteousness, and justice. And man, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Amen. Hallelujah. That is the time I am looking forward to. I think I had some dreams about that. I'm not the YouTube dreamer, but I've had some visions and dreams waking up one day thinking my whole body was translated up. I wish
that
was
the weirdest thing. One of our guys who works in the mailroom at the ministry, Tony, came up to me today. Tony Privett's been a long-time Facebook moderator, and now he serves on staff. But he came up to me this morning and said that same thing. He's been having a lot of dreams about the rapture lately. I don't know if it's on people's minds lately because things are getting so bad, but a lot of people are thinking rapture right now.
Yeah, amen, amen. Sticking with the schedule I gave you yesterday, let's talk about the pre-trib rapture. Now, let me ask you a question first.
Sure.
When I say the word day of the Lord, what is the length of the day of the Lord?
Well, I believe that the day of the Lord in all biblical references is talking about the Daniel 70th week, that's 7 years. Now, the day of Christ is the second coming, that last day of the tribulation when Jesus returns. But the day of the Lord typically throughout Bible prophecy is referring to the tribulation, although some have equated it to also include the church age as one big blanket end times of 2,000 years plus.
Now, in God's word, he says 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years. Would that possibly cover the millennium?
No, again, it's using like and as, and like and as are comparators. In other words, time is not meaningful to God. People have taken that, just gone with it. Instead of, they remove the word like and as, and they'll say, well, for God, 1,000 years is a day. Well, it doesn't say it is a day. It says it's like a day. In other words, time is meaningless to God, and he's eternal. So, for us, our lives are just like, a snap. But I don't think that means that a day is 1,000 years to God. It clearly is a comparative use of the words there.
Okay. All right. As far as a thief in the night, what do you think he means by is he saying that it come as a thief, the day of the Lord should come as a thief in the night to the people who are in a rapture, or the people who is not raptured, or both? And is he referring, I guess my question is he referring to the church being raptured to start that period of time called the time of Jacob's trouble?
Wow, you picked a word that's been greatly debated over time, subject, who is the thief? Of course, how could the church be compared to a thief, or how could Christ be compared to a thief that sneaks in? So some have said that, well, he's referring to Satan, where he will sneak into the world or to lives, so to speak, and take over the government. Kind of similar if you watch those Star Wars movies, you know, how the Emperor kind of snuck in and took over everything bit by bit. Well, that's how Satan's doing it, and clearly that's the case. We can see as the governments are all moving towards a one-world order, and then there's others interpret that verse that Jesus is the thief. He comes to people that are unprepared, that don't realize when he's coming. But there are other verses that it should never come as a surprise to Christians because we should be expecting it. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He always gives us information about what's going to happen in the future. Maybe not as much information as we'd want, but he gives us the information that we know it's going to happen. We know the rapture's coming. We know the tribulation's coming, the second kingdom coming, the millennial kingdom. All that's coming, and we know that. So that's a wonderful thing. So it won't be the surprise to us. The day certainly will be a surprise. The hour will be a surprise. For the unbelieving world, and it will definitely be a surprise. I mean, they're not expecting it because they really don't know much about it, or if they do, they kind of mock it in movies like Rapture Palooza and some of these others.
Oh, yeah. And another movie I just passed by, The End or something like that. It's called The End. I don't even want to watch it. I have to wait for the. I work at a place where kids watch movies, so I have to wait till they get it so I can have an excuse. Cause we got to watch them anyway. But it's probably like vomiting material for Christians. It's just at least.
Mocking Jesus, shooting him out of the sky with the cannon of the second coming. I would hate to be those people standing before the Lord one day.
I know, right?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, what I should have did in this schedule I sent you, I should have said Revelation/Tribulation. But
you kind of covered a broad swath of topics, so whatever question you want to ask in that area, I'll do my best for you, man.
Yes, sir. The Tribulation period, explain how would that be to the audience?
Explain the entire tribulation?
Well, just explain in a nutshell, you know, what it's going to be like. So, because I have another question for you after that.
Okay. Well, I mean, if we want to sum it up, what is the tribulation going to be like? The Bible says it's going to be the worst time in human history. There will be of no time in human history as bad as it will be during those 7 years. What we know is that the rapture of the church is Christians have given their lives to Jesus Christ. You know, we are saved. The church gets taken up into the clouds to be with Jesus forever. And when we're in heaven, we go through the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a party that the Lord celebrates. We're up there. The tribulation will then have 21 terrible judgments that will befall the earth. And it will, by the end of those 7 years, pretty much decimate not only the world population, but the world ecology. Everything that we have ever supported will be pretty much destroyed by the end. Satan will be given almost a free reign, and he will raise up a guy called the Antichrist, and who will have a false prophet, and the world will beg this guy to take over to help them solve their problems of the world. And that's where you get into the final one-world government, a one-world economic system, a worship of the Antichrist, and, of course, worship of Satan through the Antichrist. And during those 21 terrible judgments that will befall the world, people will get the opportunity to accept Jesus as Savior. You know, it takes sometimes the hardest situations to get people to change their minds. And the Lord during that time will provide two witnesses in Jerusalem to share the gospel. 144,000 Jews will come to know Jesus as their Savior and be sharing the gospel. All our Bibles and Left Behind material will be out there to teach people. A gospel angel will spread the gospel throughout the tribulation time. So people have plenty of opportunities to hear the Lord's word and accept Jesus. And we read that multitudes beyond count accept Jesus as their Savior that time and also are martyred for their faith as well. So it would be a terrible time of persecution both for Christians and for Jews. But at the end of that time, Jesus returns with us, with the church, And just with the word, he defeats all the forces of the enemy at Armageddon. He defeats Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. He holds a judgment called the sheep-goat judgment, which we read in Matthew 25. And he separates those who rejected him throughout the tribulation. They're sent to Hades, a holding place, waiting final judgment. And the rest in earthly bodies get to live on into the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom, again, is a time where Jesus will rule and reign here on earth in Jerusalem. The curse will be partially lifted. It will be almost utopian. And those people in earthly bodies will continue to have children and populate it. And those of us in our glorified bodies, those of us who are raptured, will be there helping Jesus to rule and reign and teach and administrate. So that, I'm sorry, that covers a lot of stuff, but that's it in a nutshell.
Okay. So what should we be, what should the listeners be doing in relevance to what you just told them? What should be, what do you believe in your heart should be the focus of the church right now with what you just said?
Evangelism. The focus of the church, of course, should always be Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ, in this church age, gave us the Great Commission in Acts 1:8, that we're to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And knowing that the rapture of the church is coming soon, we must be going out there and sharing the gospel with as many people as we can, as quickly as we can, before the Lord returns. And that is our prerogative still. It hasn't changed. Knowing the future hasn't changed. Knowing Bible prophecy doesn't make us useless and all too heaven-centered. No, we're knowing that the time is short, we should be focusing on Jesus and his gospel and getting that message out.
Amen. And do you believe that the church is doing that now?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, obviously we're seeing the church wane in the West. Again, Bible prophecy tells us that the final personality of the church in the church age is the church of Laodicea. You could read in Revelation chapter 3. It's apathetic, they feel like they're rich, but they're really not spiritually, and that's kind of the church of the West. But boy, you can read about the church in Africa and China, and it is continuing to march across the world. People are getting saved. Muslims by the millions are getting saved, and I think that's why they're resorting to so many desperate acts like in Nigeria, because they're realizing they're losing numbers left and right. And we're seeing the gospel march on. You know, more people are probably saved, I think, statistically in the 20th century than all the centuries beforehand. And we know in the tribulation will probably be the greatest soul harvest that history has ever seen. So Christ isn't dormant. He continues to go out there and through the church get his message out.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we got more questions with Nathan Jones. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Prophecy Zone, the place to stay informed about current events that line up with Bible prophecy. And now, your watchman on the wall and host, Bill Armstrong.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me, and one of the generals called me in. He said, "Sir, you got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, no. He says, "We've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, no. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." So I came back to see him a few weeks later. And by that time, we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs," meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
So go through the countries again.
Well, starting with Iraq, then Syria and Lebanon, then Libya, then Somalia and Sudan, and then back to Iran.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Judging by that one commercial or audio file, I suppose you wonder what I'm going to ask to make them next. It appears that we have went through Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya, and all these countries. It apparently appears that Syria could be next. We're in more of a slow-mo pace. I don't know, in my opinion, which I don't know how far it stretches, but in my opinion, and just an opinion, it seems like to me Syria is going to be the staging ground for World War III. Now, the reason why I got this, I had a radio program that I'd done when I first started, and I told my audience to watch Syria. And I also had a radio program about a week ago, and I told them, I said, this thing that they got with Syria is not gonna pop off yet. We still got some time. And how did I know that? Well, it was kind of written all over the place that maybe Barack Obama was looking like he wanted to go, because he was more or less going to be start getting concerned with his legacy. Just watch my, mark my words, he's going to start getting concerned with his legacy because he's going to figure out I have no legacy. Bill Clinton and George Bush were concerned with their legacy in their second term. So just sit back and watch what I say. But Nathan, Syria, it seems like we escaped. And let me also read this before I finish that question. It says, Netanyahu, it says Israel would not allow Iran to acquire nuclear weapons even if it stands alone. And for some of y'all who listened to Netanyahu give a speech, one of the brothers on Facebook was Keith, was or Kevin, was passing out links to the UN so we can listen to that speech. I don't know if he did, you guys, the Christ and Prophecy page. But it seems like the United States is not going to do it, but do you believe Israel is going to go into Syria or even skip over Syria and go to Iran?
Well, I think prophetically we know two things. One is that at some point in time, Israel will annihilate the capital city of Damascus. Isaiah 17 and Jeremiah 49 all prophesy a time where Israel in one night will annihilate what is the oldest city in the world, Damascus, which is the capital of Syria. So we know it, that has never happened in history. Obviously, Damascus being destroyed, the prophecy is also that they wouldn't resettle it, and it's settled, so it couldn't be a past prophecy. So at some point in time, Israel needs to deal with Damascus. Now, Damascus is the black market center of the world right now. I mean, almost all the black market weapons and munitions stuff go through there. So it could be that there's a point where Israel has to deal with Damascus quickly because maybe they have, say, Iran has progressed enough to get a nuclear weapon at a closer launch site than Iran. We're not sure. But we know that Israel is going to intervene in Syria at some point, maybe not through this engagement, but in the future. The second prophecy we know is because of Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Gog-Magog battle talks about an outer ring of Muslim nations with Russia. They teamed up with Iran and Turkey and Libya and some of these other nations, and they're going to attack Israel, but not the neighboring countries around Israel, oddly enough. And you would think, with all the hostility with Lebanon and Jordan and Syria and Egypt and all, that they would be part of that Gog-Magog battle, but they're not. So something has to happen beforehand for Israel to subjugate their neighboring countries, and the theory behind that right now is that Psalm 83 might be a war where Israel has to subjugate Syria along with the other nations around them. Now, we know through Bible prophecy and reading Ezekiel 38 and 39 that Iran is in that coalition with Russia, and Iran does not bring nuclear weapons against Israel. Matter of fact, there's nothing in Bible prophecy that talks about Iran having nuclear weapons, or, I mean, obviously it wouldn't say nuclear weapons, but the effects of nuclear weapons aren't used on Israel. So at some point, Israel, it seems clearly prophetically, they will intervene. Maybe they'll scare the Muslim nations away by destroying Damascus, but it does not look like Iran is going to get nuclear weapons. And whatever they do in the Gog-Magog battle against Israel, Iran, along with Russia and others, will be destroyed, and only a ninth of their armies are going to survive, according to Joel 2. So prophetically, we can already start to see this picture coming together.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Government shutdown. Nothing is almost like a bumblebee bite, it seems like, for right now. And I know this is kind of far off the edge, but what happens to the United States and Bible prophecy?
Well, the United States really isn't listed in Bible prophecy. Obviously, you know, the New World isn't. There could be a reference to, when you read about the Gog-Magog battle I just described, Ezekiel 38 and 39, it talks about Saudi Arabia, the merchants of Dedan and Tarshish, and the Tarshish is young lions. Tarshish at the time that was written was considered the end of the world. It was like Spain or England. It's kind of debatable. And their young lions, as it's interpreted, could be the countries they settled in the New World, either all the Spanish-speaking world through Spain or all the English nations through England, such as Canada, the United States, Australia. And they sit it out. It says that Israel goes it alone against Russia and all those nations, and they can't win. There's no way. But God steps into history again, and with the typical, you know, God's wrath judgment, fire, brimstone, the armies turning on each other, the destruction of these armies is so amazing that the people, the Jews, will believe in God again. They will give up their humanism. They will believe in God again. Maybe not his son Jesus, not to the end of the tribulation, but in all these alliances that these prophecies talk about have come into fruition this day. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to watch what's going on in the Middle East right now and see it. And we know that the nations of the world sit out, and basically they don't care about Israel. Our current administration is very anti-Semitic. They could care less about Israel. And so they'll sit it out, and let's see if Israel survives or not. We hope they don't, is pretty much what they're thinking. And they sit out, and then God steps in and wins. And, you know, I think if any scenario, that's when we talk about Daniel 9, 26, and 27, the Antichrist making a treaty with Israel. I don't think it's a treaty for Israel's peace. I believe it's a treaty for the Antichrist to have peace with Israel, to buy him the time to conquer the world and doesn't have to deal with the God of Israel.
Yeah, amen, amen. That makes a lot of sense. I kind of skipped over pre-trib rapture, and I like to put them in the search engine and see how many people have a fit. But pre-trib rapture, tell me why pre-trib rapture is correct and the other ones are not.
Well, when we talk about pre-trib rapture, we're talking about the return of Jesus to take away the church before the 7 years tribulation. Instead of making his church, his bride, spend 7 years getting destroyed by his own judgments, as the post-trib rapture believes, in other words, the rapture happens at the end of the tribulation, we believe that the Lord loves his church. He wants to rescue his church and take us up to be with God again. So there's a lot of arguments I could cover why I believe that there is a pre-trib rapture. In other words, the rapture happens before the tribulation, not in the middle of the tribulation or before the wrath. But all 7 years of wrath, all 21 judgments are God's wrath. They come from the throne of God. So it's not like the wrath is the end of the tribulation. The whole tribulation, all 7 years, is God's wrath. And I believe that the Bible says that the church will be taken out of the earth before those judgments come. And there's a number of arguments. So for one, you can look at all the passages that talk about the church being raptured. Now, take for instance, if the rapture happened at the end of the tribulation, and the Christians were taken up, those who had survived the tribulation, up to Jesus, made a U-turn and came back down with earth to Jesus, and then God had the sheep goat judgment. And who are the people then who are righteous, the sheep, who live on into the millennial kingdom in earthly bodies? Because those who raptured glorified bodies. So there would be nobody to populate the millennial kingdom to have children. So the whole post-trib rapture to me doesn't make any sense. I find most of the people who believe in the post-trib rapture want to martyr themselves for Christ. They're really keen on that. They want to prove their faith as if that scores some brownie points or something. And I say, guys, if you want to martyr yourself for Christ, you go down to Ethiopia or Sudan or Nigeria right now. You stand on the street corner and you start proclaiming Christ. You'll get martyred in no time.
Yeah, he just cut it short. that's a good
point. So earlier you said about coming as a thief in the night. Well, you know, if Jesus was coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation, that was the rapture. That's no thief in the night. Everybody and their brother would know by the end of the tribulation exactly when Jesus is coming, exactly 42 months, each year being 360 days. So, again, there'd be no thief in the night if the rapture was at the end of the tribulation.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes, sir, indeed. Talk to us about your conference that's coming up. Is it in Louisiana?
Well, that's Al Giff Conference, Maranatha Evangelistic Ministries. We actually had that last month. It was in, I guess it was the end of August or beginning of September. Al Giff is the evangelist with that ministry. He hosts that every year. And I got to go. It was a real blessing. I got to fill in, actually, because Ed Heinsohn couldn't make it, unfortunately. And so it's just a great blessing to be down there in Louisiana. And Al and his wife Sandy are a wonderful couple who have a really great ministry. I recommend anybody check them out. And they hold a conference there every year down in Louisiana. Our ministry, Lamb & Lion Ministries, we have our conference every year in June or July. This year it's going to be July 11th and 12th. And we have it here in the Dallas, Texas area. And each year we have a different theme. And we're still kind of putting the details of our conference together because it's all the way out in the middle of next year, but you got to plan almost a year ahead of time just to get the place, even the place to meet, and we just got that nailed down this week. So it's coming together. But I recommend people go to lamblion.com, and if they want to come to our conference here in Dallas, then they can just keep their eyes out for it on our website.
Amen. And give everybody your website and just keep it on
them. Sure. Lamb & Lion Ministries website is lamblion.com. You can remember our ministry name and website name because Jesus' first coming, he came as a lamb to suffer and die for our sins. And when he returns, he's coming as a lion to conquer and rule. So it's lamblion.com.
Amen, brother. In December, I'm going to be doing a series on Revelation for the whole entire month. And if you can, I'd like you to come back on, and I'll send you some details on what me and you will be talking about in relevance to the book of Revelations. It's the last month of the year. That's why I'm sort of doing it in that time period. But let me know. Yes, sir. Let me know if you can make it. And that would be awesome asset to that teaching. So thank you for coming on, brother. And I appreciate it. Great interview, great show. It's always great to have you on. I know it's been a while, but time goes so fast. It's almost
that it does. Thank you, Phil. I appreciate being on, and I appreciate your listeners tuning in. And if you could, tell Terry James hello for me.
I sure will. God bless you, man. Bye-bye.
Hey, God bless.
So that's Nathan Jones. And we're going to take a break, and we are going to come back, and we're going to chit-chat a little bit before our next guest come on. We'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans.
This is David Robertson inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now come see the bigger picture at American Warning Radio with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Savage habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AmericanWarning.com. That's AmericanWarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.